Ladies and gentlemen, good morning or good afternoon. Welcome to the Chambermany Bank Half Year 2018 Financial Results Conference Call and Live Webcast. I'm Sherry, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Robert Oudmayer, CEO, Mr. Remy Schimmel, CFO, and Mr. Volker Gloe, CRO of Chambermany Bank. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Yes, thank you, and good morning. Thank you for joining our first half call for Chambermany. I'm here together with Remy and Volker, and we want to run you through the results, and then, of course, you have, as always, time for questions and answers. I'd like to start on page three, the summary. If you look at the environment, the low interest rate environment continued in the first half of 2018. You see that also in the numbers later on, where we have a 49 basis points funding rate. Consumer market was quite stable. I'll talk a little bit more on the next page, but now overall, I think the market conditions were quite good for us. On the competition side, basically no change. Aggressive competition, both in auto and in personal loans, but nothing new. I would say we have faced it for the last couple of years. If you look at the business, 4% asset growth, all business lines performing and all business lines growing. Started with personal loans, so assets were up 4%. It is a mix of the core performance and the any corporation that we started mid last year. Auto assets were up 2%. EFL Auto Lease that we acquired in Q4 last year was completely integrated and merged first half of 2018 into Chambra. Cards performing very well. We saw 11% growth in the number of cards. We have now about 850,000 cards. 8% growth on assets and 25% growth on fees. Cost-to-income ratio was in line with 42.6%, although there was an influence of a one-off that we talk about later in the cost explanations as well. Loss is very stable, loss rate at 1%, and the non-performing loans at 50 basis points. Leading to a net income of 77.7 million, 12% growth versus last year, and a 276 per share. I think everything we did last year, acquisitions and initiatives, delivering on the revenue growth, return on equity very solid at 17.8%, and with those results, we decided to raise the full-year EPS guidance to between 520 and 550 from 480 and 510. Capitalization, strong Tier 1 capital of 80.9% within the target range, and excess capital of 39 million above the Tier 1 target of 18%. We move to page 4. I give you a little bit more flavor about the markets. Let's first talk about personal loans. So as you know, in 2017, the market turned positive with 2% for the first time in a couple of years. We haven't seen the numbers for the first half of 18, but our feeling on the market is quite okay. The market was quite good. If you look at the volumes, they were in line with what we did in 17 in the first 6 months. So we're maintaining our market share. If you look at the repricing of the book, the vast majority, basically the really vast majority now of the book has been repriced. You see 4% increase in assets, which is a mix of the any corporation, which is performing quite well, but also lower attrition. On the lower attrition, what you see and what we see, because you see the volume is basically in line with last year, and still you get higher assets. People seem to have less appetite to terminate earlier, which in a way is logical because the interest rates are lower. So people have less tendency to basically terminate earlier and go somewhere else. We see that, and that's why the assets are increasing with the same volumes. If you look at the credit card markets, we've seen a 3% growth versus the first half year of 2017, which is based on the number of cards. You see a very strong momentum on cards. We went up 11% with the number of cards, and the volumes went up 16%. So we have now 850,000 cards, and it is not only Migros that's performing. Migros remains the stronger part, and it's performing very well. But also you see the Chambra bank card is performing well. We sold this card to personal loan customers, and we see nice growth in there. And also the TCS relaunch is successful. We relaunched a annual fee-free card at the end of last year, and we see pretty good momentum on TCS as well in the first 6 months of 2018. Fees were up 25% year-on-year. Basically, if you look at where we are, we're really outperforming the market. We're winning share. We now have 13% share. So we're winning basically every year a percent share. and we are very positive, remain very positive on our credit cards. If you look at the auto market was basically flat, 158,000 new car registrations in the first half of 2018, which was basically almost the same as the first half of 2017. Our assets have been growing 2% in the first half of 2018, and this is basically the first time that you see asset growth again in the auto portfolio. A couple of things happening there. As you know, we launched some new partnerships, Tesla, Harley-Davidson. They performed well. We also had a good performance with EFL, so the Hyundai relationship performed very well. So overall, with the partnerships and the performance, we saw 2% asset growth. So we're winning share as the market is relatively stable, despite strong captive competition. So the captives, you know, they're still penetrating the market with low rates and trying to push metal with low leasing rates. I think also worthwhile to mention is that EFL auto leasing is completely integrated in the first half, basically without any issue. So we stopped originating on the EFL system. As of the 1st of May this year, we originate all new contacts on the Chamber system. So we're running off the EFL book, we're building up the Chamber book, and basically it went without any disruption. Few other things that I think is worthwhile to mention. A few words on Swiss Billing. So Swiss Billing is showing nice momentum. They did 190,000 invoices year to date. Swiss Billing launched also a new product, Invoice Finance at POS. So you remember it was only online. It's also now at POS. It has a healthy pipeline. The net income contribution for Swiss Billing is still minimal, but I think we're building up step-by-step momentum to get also nice Swiss Billing in the growth path in the next coming years. So we're quite positive about what we're doing on the Swiss Billing side. You look at the Lendico, it's too early to say. We have a few contracts there. This is the cooperation with PostFinance on the SME financing. It's early days. It's a pilot. I think it's performing quite okay at the moment, but it's too early to say if it's really becoming a success or not. A few words on NFC. So we have a 19% market share, where we have a 13% market share on cards. So we're still outperforming in NFC. We still believe very strongly in NFC, and we stick to a smart follower strategy on the payment technology. If you look at Apple Pay and Samsung Pay, the traction is still quite low there. We stick really to a strategy of being a smart follower. With this, I'd like to hand over to Remy, who's going to talk on page 5 on the P&L. Remy, go ahead.
Thank you, Albert. Good morning, everyone. So I will start by walking you through the P&L and a deep dive of operating expenses before moving on to the balance sheet and an update on funding. So starting with page 5 and the P&L. Overall, net income for the first half year was 77.7 million compared to 69.4 million last year, which translated into an EPS of 2.76, up 30 cents or 12% compared to prior. Looking at the numbers line by line, interest income was 162.2 million, up 7%, which was driven by higher credit card income following the pricing initiative launched in June 2017, 2017 growth initiative with the acquisitions of EFL Auto Leasing and Swiss Billing, and with the partnership with AnyFinance. All in all, the increase in interest income was partially offset by the repricing of the personal loan back book, which continued to gradually flow through the P&L. And as of today, we cannot confirm that the vast majority of the book has been repriced, and as highlighted by Robert earlier. Just one more point to note here, and compared to prior year's performance, this is the first time that the interest income is up and since the introduction of the rate cap. Interest expenses was 10.1 million, down 20% driven by lower debt financing costs as we continue to benefit from the low interest rate environment. Commission and fee income was up by 7.1 million to 60.9 million, primarily driven by higher credit card income due to an increase in the number of credit cards plus 11% and an increase in transaction volumes plus 19%. There is also a 3.2 million reclassification from OPEX following the adoption of ASC 606 revenue recognition standard as of 1st January 2018. Insurance income was lower following the termination of the partnership with CSS in 2017. Provision for losses were up 2.8 million, in line with the business growth, resulting in a stable 1% loss rate, but Volker will guide you through the loss performance on page 9. Operating expenses, which we will view in more detail on the next page, were up 9% compared to last year. So all in all, and looking at the key ratio for the first half of the year, net interest margin was 6.5%, down from 6.7%, primarily reflecting the impact of the rate cap. The cost-income ratio was slightly lower at 42.6%, with a 17.8% return on equity and a 3% return on assets. Moving on to operating expenses on page 6. Compensation and benefits increased 7% to 52.8 million following the acquisition of EFL and the growth of the Swiss billing business. Professional services were up by 2.1 million, driven by business development activity and by continued investment in digitization and in regulatory requirements. Marketing costs were up 1.1 million to 4.4 million, driven by 1.6 million revenue reclassification to commission and fee income relating to ASC 606, which was partially offset by lower marketing activities. IT costs were down 11% to 9.6 million, following a 3.6 million reimbursement for the cancellation of the data center outsourcing project, which was partially offset by investment in IT. Depreciation and amortization was up 2.4 million following both the write-off and the activation of IT assets. Other costs were down 3.2 million, primarily driven by the 2.4 million lower pension costs and lower provision. Looking at the headcount, the increase in FTEs was driven by the acquisition and merger of EFL Auto Leasing and by the increase in Swiss billing to support the growth agenda. Overall, the increase in total operating expenses was in line with the revenue trajectory, translating into a healthy cost-income ratio of 42.6%. Moving on to the balance sheet on page 7, overall, the balance sheet grew to 5.3 billion, up 213 million, or 4% from December 17. And starting with the assets, cash was marginally reduced by 5% to 440 million in line with upcoming liquidity requirement. Net financing receivable was 4.7 billion, up 4% with strong origination across all product lines. On the liability side, there was a 6% increase in funding to support the asset growth. Deposit, non-deposit mixed remained stable at 64 and 36% respectively. But we will look deeper into our funding on the next page. Finally, equity was down 2% to 864 million following the payment of the dividend in May, which was partially offset by H1 net income generation. Moving on to the funding slide on page 8, total funding was up 6.1% to 4.3 billion. As we supported the growth of the business and took advantage of the continued low interest rate environment to further optimize our funding cost. So key movements in funding since year-end 2017 included a 125 million unsecured bond and a 50 million floating rate note. Overall, we have continued to further optimize the funding cost while maintaining the average remaining terms to 2.8 years. With that, I would like to hand over to Volker, who shall provide an update on this.
Thank you, Remy. So on page 9, we can see that the loss performance in the first half of 2018 is comparable to the numbers that we have seen in previous periods. We can again report a loss rate of 1%, which is exactly the same level as the same period last year. Translated into absolute numbers, we report a loss provision of 23.9 million, which is the same level as second half of 2017, versus first half of 2017, it's slightly up, which is driven by the underlying asset growth and consequently the loss rate as a ratio is stable. Underlying asset quality hasn't shown any material movements. 30-plus delinquencies are at 1.9%, NPL ratio at 50 basis points, which is in line with the numbers that we have seen in the same period last year. Also other risk metrics as vintage write-offs that we show here on the right-hand side of the slide or also the asset distribution across credit grades has not been showing any material movements, so evidencing the bank's risk discipline when taking the assets on the book. Taking into consideration that what we have seen in the first half of 2018 and also with our portfolio mix and the outlook of a robust macroeconomy, we would expect that the loss performance for the full year is in line with prior years. Or in short, we expect continuous stability on both the loss line and the asset quality. And with that, we move into the capital position and back to Remy.
Thank you, Volker. So moving on to the capital position on page 10. So we ended up the half year with a strong core tier 1 ratio of 18.9% with 39 million excess capital above the 18% minimum target. Risk-weighted asset increased by 4% in line with the growth of our business. And overall, we remain well capitalized. With that, I would like to hand over to Robert for an update on the outlook and guidance for 2018.
Yeah, thank you, Remy. On page 11, I will give you a quick outlook and guidance for 18. If you look at the medium-term targets, I think a good set of results on the targets asset growth. We always said in line with Swiss GDP. We did 4%, which is basically our core growth. Profitability at 70.8, above the target of at least 15%. The capitalization remains strong with 18.9%, and the target payout ratio is still between 60 and 70% of net income. So medium targets, I think, met in the first half 18. If you look at the outlook for the full year, we expect to have continued momentum on the credit card growth. So we are positive about the full year on the revenue side. On the losses, we are basically stable, and we expect to be in line with prior year's performance. And on the operating expenses, now we're investing in digitization and we're investing in the business, but the cost-income ratio should be healthy and basically in line or slightly higher than what you've seen right now. So for the guidance, we raised our guidance from 480 to 510 to 520 to 550. So you see, as the market is not expecting to change, you will see a good set of results for the year 2018. With that, I'd like to open up for questions.
The first question is from Martin Nemeth from UBS. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, and thank you for taking my questions. I have three of them, in fact. Firstly, on your guidance, the increased guidance range, if you could give us a little bit more color on the underlying assumptions for the increased guidance range of 5.20 to 5.50. If I annualize the H1 EPS, basically I'm getting to 5.50 already. I'm just wondering whether your guidance factors in any possible asset attrition in the second half of the year, or you're perhaps cautious with regards to growth in credit cards. Secondly, on personal loans, we saw 4% growth in the personal loan book sequentially. I'm interested in your view whether this is an unexpected positive development, or we are seeing, a slight growth or resurgent growth in the market as well. Whether we can expect something similar in the coming periods as well. And thirdly, just a clarification on cost-income ratios and your guidance again. You mentioned that you would expect a stable or slightly higher cost-income ratio. Could you clarify whether this is compared to H1 18 or 2017 numbers, and whether the cost guidance includes any still expected benefit from the EFL integration? Thank you.
Thank you, Matt, and good morning. I will probably do the first two questions and give the last question to Remy. So on the guidance, look, you know, if you look, maybe I should start this question two and then go to the guidance, because I think the P-loans is probably, you know, important as well. Personal loans showed a 4% growth in the first half of the year, which was a bit unexpected. If you would have asked me the question 6 months ago, I wouldn't have expected it. I think the we performed just very well. Also, the Eni Corporation is performing very well. So I think what we – the unexpected piece was the lower attrition. So people seem to pay back slower and later because the interest rates are probably a bit lower. It's very difficult to say if this will continue in the second half or not. You know, it's really, I don't know. You know? Honestly, I don't know how the market is going to develop. I think we are always quite good in predicting the performance on the personal loan side. It's still a new environment with new interest rates. So it's difficult to say. If you look at all the growth areas and also the performance of EFL in there, you see a strong year. Now, you see a strong year on the revenue side. You also see a strong year on basically the whole performance side. That's why we put our guidance up. What you need to take into account, which is basically also almost getting into the third question there, is the cost in the first half of the year has a couple of one-offs. The 3.69 is a one-off. So the cost-income ratio without a one-off would have been higher. So you cannot just copy-paste it for the second half of the year, because the 3.6 million is, I would say, a material one-off that we got. It's not going to be repeated in the second half. So that's why I think the cost guidance is quite realistic what we're giving to. If you look at the guidance we've given, we've always been, you know, in the guidance. I cannot really tell you what the income is going to be for the full year, because I don't know. But I think now we're trying to give you guidance and color to basically give you a bit of a feel where we think we are. Maybe on the cost income ratio, Amy, you want to say a few words?
Yeah, but I think you've covered it indirectly. But yeah, that's right. So because of the one-off we booked in H1, I would expect that not to repeat. And slightly, you know, all things being equal, I would slightly put a little bit of pressure on it. But I would expect it to be materially different. And if you look at the overall direction and trajectory against last year, when you compare it, it's against last year, to answer your first question, Matej.
Yeah, what you will see in the second half of the year, we'll see the headcount going up a bit, because we're investing in growth, we're investing in digitization, we're investing in more people to do more projects. So I think it's the time for us to really invest. We are in moods that we think we should trying to grow and to invest in what we're trying to do with the what we did last year with all the corporations and with any and EFL. We're trying to continue this, and we're investing in growth. So you will see headcount go up slightly as well in the second half of the year. You will see continued in investing in digitization. So I would assume that the cost income ratio is going to be slightly higher.
Okay, thank you. That's actually very helpful. Maybe a very quick follow-up, if you don't mind, on any finance. You mentioned actually the contribution of any finance also helped to grow assets by 4% in personal loans. Could you give us a bit more color here, or a few numbers in terms of the contribution, perhaps loan book or revenues contributed?
No, I think what we don't want to go in every single detail what's contributing. So you know that we started with 40 million when we started the cooperation. It's growing nicely. The growth is a mix of core performance and any, and I think that's where we want to leave it.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Marta.
Next question is from Andreas Brun, Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my questions. Just two of them. Do you expect any further decrease in average yield in personal loans after you say that the vast majority of the book is repriced? And the second one, just from my understanding, what is actually the main reason that the fee growth is stronger than the receivable growth in credit cards?
Okay. Thanks. I will take the first one and then leave the second one to Amy. Look, I mean, we are close to repricing everything now on the personal loan book. So you will see still some repricing, but it's really fast majority now. What you see is the effect is not 12 months yet, because if you reprice, you know, during the year, you will still see the effect. What you see next year is you will go to almost a run rate. You know? So, yes, the yield will go down further, because even if the prices are now quite stable, everything that's been repriced during the year will only be, you know, later in the year effective. If you reprice something in October, you only see 3 months effect. And if you, you know, so that's what you see still. I think from next year onwards, you'll probably see a run rate. You know. And look, you know, it's not magic. No, I mean, the yield is now, I think, 8.9%, so it will go down further. It will be somewhere between 8 and 8.5. That's what we expect. Okay. On the second question, I want to hand over to Amy on the fees.
Sure. Thank you, Andreas. Thank you, Albert. Sorry. And thanks for the question, Andreas. So on the credit card, there's basically three drivers. The first one is you have an increase in the number of credit cards, so we've grew by 11%. And then the other two factors, the growth in credit card basically helped to grow the overall asset base. So we had an 8% increase in the overall asset. But also what we are seeing is an increase in usage of the credit card. And in particularly for anything that is international spend, so spending abroad, where we've seen a growth of 23% here on the overall transaction. But we also seen quite a sharp increase in contactless transaction of 63% compared to last year. So what we're basically seeing is really an increase in usage, increase in the number of within the portfolio, but also that is compounded or magnified by the increase in the overall usage, which then has a positive impact of 25% on the commission and fee line.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Next question is from Flora Benacon, Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Several questions on my side, please. The first is actually a request whether you could please send us some more details on the breakdown of the interest income per loan category, same for interest expense, and also the average yield for each loan category, please. So the first question is actually regarding the credit card business, whether you could also elaborate a little bit on whether the growth was driven mostly by the Migros partnership or other credit cards, and where the penetration rate is now on the Migros card and where you think it can go. Thank you.
Okay, the first question. I mean, you want to answer the first question. I think we're going to send something on the yield. I think we did in the past. I think the breakdown of everything on the portfolios we probably not have to do.
Yeah, so I think we cover that separately, Flora, on the information. I mean, what you will see here anyway is net revenues per credit and per lines and per product. So that should give you a good indication here. What we are not, giving is the interest income per product because, anyway, for us it doesn't, it's not representative because you'd have to take into account any commission on top of it. So that's why that's the way we represent the information.
It's a yield per product we can get for you to do it. So that's not a problem.
Yeah, which we have.
Yeah. On the credit cards, look, it's Migros is still about 85% of the portfolio, so that hasn't changed. But Migros is growing, and all the other portfolios are growing as well. So Migros is still at a penetration rate of, is it 25, 26, 27%, something like this. We still see the growth continuing. You've seen that. So we have no reason to believe that the growth will really slow down. We still see double-digit growth there. I cannot tell you how this is going to be in the next 1 or 2 years, but you know, we don't see any slowdown of the growth. The $1 million question is always what's the sweet spot of this debt penetration. Now, I don't know the answer. I think what I do know is that all the products, all the other partnerships are growing nicely. So we relaunched TCS at the end of last year with a credit fee, with an annual fee-free card. We've seen nice momentum, and we saw nice growth percentages, and the percentage are even higher percentage-wise than Migros, which is on the TCS one. Also, we're trying to cross-sell more and more Gemra cards to our personal loan customers. The portfolio is really growing there. You know, it's a nice growth as well. FNAC is a small program. It's growing nicely as well, and even Conforama is performing really, really well. So basically, we saw double-digit growth on all programs. You know. We are quite positive that credit cards will continue to grow. We see nice growth on the NFC still. The usage is doing well. So, yeah, it's a good performing portfolio.
Thank you. If I could just follow up with two other questions. So the first is regarding the funding cost. It's still a bit lower this half year at 49 bps. So should we consider that you've reached the bottom or you think you can still achieve some progress on the funding side? And the second question is regarding the commissions that you pay to your independent agents. The question is whether you have reduced that commission over the past 2 years. Thank you.
Yes, Flora. So on the funding side, I think Remy tells you every year that we are at the bottom. So, Remy?
Yeah, sure. Now, if you look at the, I know I've been saying that for the past 18 months, but it's event driven and market driven in a way, as you would imagine. But if you look at the makeup of that, we issued a $250 million bond, 4-year bond, a $250 million bond matured in November 17, and it was priced at 125. And we replaced it with a $200 million 6.5-year bond at 23 bips. So that explained quite a material change overall in the funding cost. So that explained the further reduction. And seriously, we're not expecting now to further go beyond, because we've used quite big instruments on the DCM market, and that's pretty much the bottom of it.
Yeah, it's the bottom of it. I don't think you can expect a further reduction without 49 basis points, and we went from 51 to 49. I think you're there. On the commissions, yes, we reduced the commission for the agents. We did it already about 1.5 years ago. So I think that's also the reason that the yield is very solid. We reduced it significantly. We haven't increased it a lot. So agent business is still important for us. It generates about 30% of the new volume. But we reduced the commissions over time.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
The next question is from David Hart, Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Well, to be honest, my questions have been answered, but it'd be great to get a little bit of details on the product line by the average yields, if you could send it like you did at the full-year results. But maybe as a follow-up on the NFC, you guys have highlighted, I think, if I've already understood in the presentation, in terms of 13% market share. How do you guys see that developing in due course? And maybe could you give us a little bit of color in terms of maybe the revenue generation in over time? How do you see that developing and what the sort of margins are within that type of business?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure if I got your question right here, but the NFC is a 90%. So we have a 90% NFC share where we have 30% market share. One of the reasons is Demigo has been one of the big drivers of NFC in the past already, together with Co-op and some other players. And still, you know, Migo is pushing NFC a lot. So you see, basically what we like on NFC is it is replacing people paying cash. So you get the same interchange on NFC as you get to normal transactions. So that's why you see high usage on the card. Small amounts, a lot of transactions, but basically a higher usage, and that drives basically the interchange there on the cards. It's very difficult to say how that's going to develop. I think NFC is for me a winning technology that you can use worldwide. We see very low traction on Apple Pay and on Samsung Pay. Even if you look at the U.S., Apple Pay is not really getting through there. And NFC works everywhere now. I mean, if you're wherever you are, you can work with NFC. So I think, I'm not sure if that's going to be there for the next 10, 15 years, but I think for the coming years, NFC is a very solid performer. We think NFC will continue to grow. I think more and more people paying with NFC. The contactless will really be very important. Where that's going, that's difficult to say. I mean, if you would ask people about Apple Pay 3 years ago, you would have 5 different opinions on the same topic. It's very difficult to say. I'm not sure if there are any more questions. Don't see anybody in the list.
No more questions at this time.
If there are no more questions, I would like to thank you for participating on the call. Any follow-up questions will be done by Remy. We will send the average yield around to the end of this. I think that's helpful. If you have any follow-up questions, please contact Remy directly. Very happy to help you and support you. So far, thank you for participating on this call, and everybody have a good day.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call, and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.